This is a National Museum of Australia production. For more information, visit nma.gov.au.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for your attendance this evening. Joining me on the stage are two people who I don't think need any introduction, legends of their respective fields in Australian sport. Michael Long, who you saw in the film, and of course Archie Roach. And also joining us is Bill Johnson, Louis's father. And it's fair to say without Bill we wouldn't have been able to put tonight on, so we're indebted to Bill for that. Now, as you saw from the film, the main actor there was Pete Postlethwaite. And when we began planning this event, we were hoping that Pete would be here. Sadly, as many of you would know, Pete passed away a few weeks ago. Obviously a very good friend of these people. Bill, did you want to say a few words on behalf of...
Yeah, I think it's very important, with your permission, that we do pay tribute to Pete's involvement in this documentary, and also the fact that he did... When was it you first came to Perth? And
it was late last year.
And he said, would Pete be available? Stephen said, would Pete be available to come over here and attend this gathering? And Pete's immediate reaction, and this is a bloke who's already been through about 6 months of chemo, he just said, try and keep me away. He said, I'll be there. And then, obviously, the chemo from being what Pete thought was going to be the cure became only palliative. They were just trying to keep the pain away. So Pete said he's still going to come. Tell that mob over there, I'll be there. And then when he realized that he wasn't going to make it, he said, I'll make a video and send the video over for you so that I can talk to the people in Canberra about this documentary and be there in spirit. He spoke to me the day after Boxing Day. He was... he actually told me, he said, I've only got a day or two left, so I just want to make sure everything went right at Christmas for you, and I want to say goodbye and tell the people in Canberra that I really wanted to be there. And that was the measure of the man. He came over here, and he was ashamed and embarrassed at his own lack of knowledge. You know, Peter considered himself to be a man of letters and an educated man and a very widely read man, which he was, but he knew nothing about this story. And we believe that the Australian government has done a bloody good job at keeping this story away from the people in the rest of the world. If people like Pete knew nothing about it, then how would you expect anybody to know about it? And that's why Pete wanted to tell this story, wanted to go on the journey with Archie, so that everybody would know what the true facts are. Pete hated hypocrisy, and he hated injustice, and he saw both of them in great measure on his journey around this country, and that saddened him greatly. But as the movie finishes, it finishes on a very hopeful, a very positive note, and that's the message that Pete took back with him and took to his grave. He was a decent man, and he was very loyal to his friends. He had a very, very close relationship with Archie, and Archie is suffering greatly because of his death. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Now, we will take questions from the audience. There are microphones. This evening's proceedings are being recorded, so you will need to use the microphone if you do have a question. So if you have a question, perhaps if you let one of the stewards here know, and they will get the microphone to you. And I believe we do have a question to start off with.
Has this documentary been released?
Hello? I see that 2007 it was finished. Has this documentary been released commercially or on TV, or is it too confronting for the powers that be and for the Australian public?
We approached both the ABC and SBS with a view to screening the documentary. Both of them made very lame excuses why it couldn't be shown. One of them said it was too long, the other one said it was too short. But to answer your question, they didn't have the guts to show it. You know, black fellas are not supposed to take the piss out of prime ministers, and that's what we're doing, you know, showing John Howard for what he was and what he still is, and that's why I think it was too confronting. It was just, they weren't prepared to do it. But at the same time, it's been very widely shown throughout Australia, and millions, literally millions, of your fellow Australians have seen this documentary.
We have another question. Yes.
I too am slightly embarrassed that in my 30s and growing up here in Canberra that we have not been taught our true history. And I came from a generation that thought they were better educated than the last. And until going looking recently through university, I've felt like I've been enlightened with truth. And I suppose as musicians and sports people, you have an avenue to educate people. But for somebody like myself that's not involved with health or politics or sport or music, how can we help break that silence that's been created in our history?
Michael, do you have an answer to that? I mean, obviously Michael was involved in the AFL, and I mean, probably when you started playing football, Michael, it was still probably common practice to racially abuse players on the field. By the time you finished your career, certainly in the AFL, that seems to have been something that's unacceptable now. How did that come about, and do you see that reflected in the wider community?
Well, I think football's, I suppose because it's such a widely watched sport, the influence it does have on the public who do watch our great game. I suppose at that time, with the racism, there weren't a lot of Indigenous players playing then, and I suppose as a player, enough was enough, and you'd gone through in your earlier days of playing as probably a junior player, I suppose, playing at Essendon, and then as probably an elder statesman, an Aboriginal player within the league, that it was time to make a stand, I suppose, and never knowing, you know, what was going to happen or eventuate out of that, but you know, standing up for what you believe in, where you come from and who you are and your history, that was very important. And for the next generation, you know, and it didn't matter what race you were, you know, because there were Italians, there were Greeks, there were people from different races playing our great game, and it was acceptable, you know, and thanks to the AFL that they've not totally wiped it, but it's about the education process. There's a rule in place now that, you know, that it is unacceptable within our game. So I suppose there's a lot of things, you know, about supporting organisations. Obviously, we do the long walk as well, going out and buying the DVD, the things in your own community that you can actually look at or support or get behind, or your local community groups. You know, that's a start. Even though, I suppose, I come from a football background using, I suppose, my profile, but I saw something that really needed to be done at a time when I think ATSIC was being abolished, and I felt there was no no voice in our country, or we weren't a part of the agenda, or where was the vision for Aboriginal people in the future? Because we are the oldest culture, you know, one of the oldest cultures in the world. And I think at the end of the day, we were just asking the Prime Minister, you know, where was the love? Where was the love for Aboriginal people? And if it wasn't for this guy at the end here, Bill, you know, bringing people like Archie Roach and Pete and Pat Dodson together, you know, this message and obviously what's happened, the tragedy in Bill's life and the family, and obviously losing a great mate like Pete, it wouldn't have been possible for this man on the end, because of his passion and drive, you know, to see injustice happen. So I take my hat off to Bill Johnson. Bill Johnson is the most passionate man that I know.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that, Michael. We do have another question.
I was one of those people who walked into Canberra with you, Michael, when you... Was it 2004 when you came? Yes, and there was such a feeling of excitement and hope at that time. And, of course, at the end of this film, too, with the bridge walk, and there's a feeling of optimism there at the end of the film. And the name of the film, too, there's a lot of hope in that. I just wonder where the next wave of hope is going to come from now. I know we're not going to give up, but... there's the Northern Territory intervention and all the things that have been happening since then. And I don't want to despair, but sometimes that's the way I feel. So I just wondered if perhaps Michael or Archie could respond.
The great thing about doing this film and being a part of this documentary with Michael and Pat and Pete was young people are now, you know, I've, you know, we've released myself and also, a friend of ours, Shane Howard and Neil May, released books in children's books. Mine has took the children away, you know, catered for children. And education, especially for littlies, you know, when they're really young, or when they're young enough, but old enough to educate them now, you know, about things. Past injustices and things that are still happening today, like the Northern Territory intervention. So we really have to realise that, you know, this is something that we need to educate, not just older children, but to start, you know, educating the children as to the truth about this country, and so they can go on and hopefully grow up to be maybe great leaders of this country that will take us into a brighter future, a brand new day. That's where I see it happening. That's the hope that I have in the young ones, all the children of Australia.
Okay, we do have another question at the back.
I pick up on the question a lady on the other side of the audience raised a moment ago when she spoke of times in our experience, in our recent past, where there was optimism and hope. And she raised the question, where might the next wave come from? There is a growing people's movement right across Australia, from Sydney to Perth, from Gippsland to Arnhem Land, a growing people's movement that has the aim and objective of inviting all Australians, all people of goodwill, to assemble at one place, and at that place publicly hold a national act of recognition, not a national act of reconciliation, a national act of recognition of the first Australians, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people of this country. The main, without going into a long story, the main parts of that act of recognition will be to publicly disown the violent entry, the forced entry, to name it as unacceptable to us with the advantage of hindsight, and by that means publicly overturn it. The second element of that act of recognition will be to take the declaration spoken over the land, declaring it terra nullius, and publicly disown that declaration, name it as unacceptable to us now with the advantage of hindsight, and by that means reverse it. My question is to the panel: do you, do we feel that this act of recognition could be a step that would help us all, that this act of recognition could be a step that could help and be of value to all Australians, but especially to the first Australians of this great country?
Bill, would you like to respond to that, Bill?
Well, I just agree fully endorse what you're saying. Yes, I'd like to see that.
Okay. Bill, I might go on and ask you a question about the media's role in... We've talked about education, but I know that at the time of Louis's of death, there was a lot of hostility within the media in Western Australia. Has that... I mean, what are your reflections on that, and has there been changes in the media, or what sort of job are they doing at the moment?
No, at the time of Louis' death, there was a shock jock, and he used the Indigenous youth and juvenile justice issues to instigate the type of behaviour that led to Louis' death. So, quite frankly, I don't believe that that attitude has changed. I think the media has got a great deal to answer for, not only in our personal case, but also in the way that Indigenous people are portrayed in this country. It's a very negative portrayal. You know, they always look for the disaster stories, the negative stories, and are never prepared to chase down and find the good stories. And they'll support something like the intervention into the Northern Territory. The intervention in the Northern Territory was a land grab. Everybody knows that. There's minerals in Arnhem Land, there's minerals around the Gulf, and that's what the federal government wanted. They wanted to get control of Blackfella country again, and the Northern Territory, through the Liberal government at the time, gave them unprecedented access to native title. And as Pat says, that's now being drawn back again. oh, we made a mistake. The black fellas have got too much country up there. Let's get it back. We need the minerals. We need to ship them out to China. And that's, you know, the media support that attitude, particularly the Australian, which its coverage of the Northern Territory intervention was an absolute and utter disgrace. The dirty digger, Murdoch, the dirty digger.
We do have another question.
We've had the apology from the Labor Party in government. We've also had them ignore and allowed to continue the intervention. Remains there. How do we gee them up to actually do what they said? I mean, we had the words. Now we need some action. How do we get them to do what they talk about?
Michael, would you like to respond to that, Mike?
I suppose Mum and Dad were part of the stolen generation. Look, it's probably, when you look at it, that was just a small part of the apology and the damage, and I suppose the kids being molested and the uncles, and it goes back further, and no doubt it's taken a long time for the government to do that, and obviously Aboriginal people were proud of that moment, and I do still think that, you know, the men and women, the children that were taken away, still need to be, no doubt, you know, that there's got to be some sort of payment to the sorrow and hurt, and, you know, the grandmothers and the mothers that had died from a broken heart, you know, because of their children were taken away. But it's things like this that bring people together, that to go back into your workplaces and you know, to be passionate about what you're talking about with the apology and what needs to happen with that. Because sometimes it's not about government, it's about what you do in your own community, how vocal and how passionate you are to make a difference. You know, because people power is just as powerful. And there's different organisations here within your own state that you can really support and get behind. Yeah, and that's where I think our community is just as strong as anything. You only have to see that with the floods in Queensland. People power.
I think we have time for one more question up the back there.
Of wonderful Aboriginal people. What came through to me was a lack of respect for our people. What I'm looking for in my lifetime is that my children and my grandchildren will be respected when they say, "I'm proud to be an Australian Aboriginal."
Yeah, any responses to that? I mean,
I totally agree with the sentiments voiced.
Yeah. We should add that obviously Pat Dodson was a major part of the film, and he was unable to be here tonight, unfortunately, because of a death in his family. However, he has written some words that he's asked Michael to read, so we might finish tonight's proceedings with words from Pat Dodson, read by Michael Long.
Okay. Sometimes Pat's got some long words in there. I don't know why he's given it to me. It goes with the name, I think. But I'll have a crack at it anyway. Sorry, Pat. When a nation's pride and self-absorption with its affluence and natural gift blind it to the truth of its past and allows for the ongoing denial of its flawed vision for the future, it often requires the humblest of the citizens of its citizens in the saddest circumstances to cast a light on the cancer that prevents it from achieving its full potential. When the senseless and callous murder of this young man, whose story is told here at the National Museum today, occurred, none of us could have comprehended how his story and the circumstances of his life would shine a light through the clink in the entrance to the dark cave of this nation's historical denial. It was a light that would begin to expose the racism and exclusion that remains a lot of Indigenous Australians since the 26th of January 1788. But the young Arrernte man's story was just that, a sad and painful story of loss, denial and exclusion. In his short life on this earth, he brought many great joys to his family and there remain the gifts of love and sharing that are for his family to treasure. But it is the story of his loss and dispossession as an Aboriginal Australian that he has entrusted to the storyteller and the poet whose journey we will visit again in this exhibition that is his gift of hope and warning to the people of Australia. A journey whose message was ignored at a peril. A wiser choice of messengers the young man could not have contrived. They were two strangers who met through their shared friendship with a warrior for justice, Bill Johnson, the young Arrernte man's father. Archie Roach is our national poet and a minstrel whose ability to place beauty in the nation's bleakest corners while exposing our conscience to the reality of our most blatant denials of justice and truth has placed him among our nation's treasures. The second was a working-class boy from the north of England, Pete Postlethwaite, who had sought to understand his world through the prism of the theatre and film. He was a man that was trained as a teacher and the skill of the teacher remained with him even though the classroom was never his domain. Together they set out upon a journey to understand how a nation so embowed could yet remain so indifferent to the plight of its first inhabitants. There began a journey of strangers who became firm friends and offered us all an opportunity to confront the truth of our past and to make something better of our future. It was a journey at the time so confronting that both of them were often filled with great despair. But once embarked upon, the option of turning back was not a possibility because they both understood the demand that the young man from Alice Springs had placed upon them. Our mate from Shropshire, I got that right, Bill?
Yep.
Has now returned to his place of ray. He gave to us all the best of himself without stint, and for that alone, we must always be grateful. But like the stories that they told, the songs that they sung, and the gifts of spirit that they gave remain with us as candles in the dark place, reminding us always of something better that lies within us all. Please let me congratulate and thank the National Museum for continuing to tell the difficult national stories. But for all of us to understand that the telling the story in its complexity is simply a starting point. The task is to take the lessons from narrative and turn this to substantive, there we go, Pat, substantive national action to address the truth of our past and be able to say that the price that the young man at the heart of the story paid was not without purpose. Listen with your hearts and act with courage to achieve that, something better of which we in this country, I believe, are so capable of achieving. Pat Dodson.
Thanks for that, Michael. And I think it's been a privilege for us, I think. And I ask you all to join me in thanking once again our guests, Michael Long, Archie Roach, and Bill Johnson.
You can download more programs from nma.gov.au. National Museum of Australia. Discover what it means to be Australian.